You know, I hope all of you had an amazing day of Pentecost this past week. We were able to see many of you in Bowling Green, Kentucky, as we combined services. I really enjoy the opportunity of having combined services on the holy days. Growing up in the church, this was a common practice, and I think it adds to the excitement of what is already a very special time for the church family. Now that the holy days, the spring holy days, are behind us for 2024, what should be our focus as we move forward post-holy day season? If you were in attendance last Sunday in Bowling Green for the day of Pentecost, you heard about various aspects of the day, the holy day. We know that the New Testament church was established in 31 A.D., and the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out to those God was calling at that time and being made available to those that God would call throughout the age. You and I are among the first fruits of that special calling, and Pentecost points really to our future and the future of all mankind. You were reminded that God is spirit, God is love, God is light, and you were encouraged to walk as children of that light. Mr. Willoughby posed a question in his message that I was very familiar with. I am one of those that goes back far enough, which is a nice way of just saying I'm part of that older crowd now. But a question that used to be asked a lot during the holy days season or a particular holy day is the speaker would get up and say, "Why are we here?" And Mr. Willoughby asks those of us in attendance last week, he said, "Why are you here?" He went on to explain some of the important reasons why we should be here. I like it that he made it personal. He didn't say, "Why are we here?" He said, "Why are you here?" In his comments, he mentioned that you and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That comment, complemented by the other messages that were presented on the holy day, maybe think of one of the things that we should be focused on as we go forward after the spring holy days. You and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The Oxford Dictionary defines an ambassador as an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. The word accredited indicates someone that is officially accepted as being of a particular standard. The Cambridge Dictionary defines an ambassador as a person who represents, speaks for, or advertises a particular organization, group of people, activity, or brand. In the United States, ambassadors to foreign countries are appointed by the President of the United States, and they are confirmed by the Senate. An ambassador in the United States is the highest-ranking diplomat that represents a nation. They are an advertisement to their country. They represent their nation's culture, their beliefs, and their standing on the important issues of the day. They have the authority to speak on behalf of the president, and the words they speak can have a direct impact on the strength and well-being of the relationships that exist and will exist between the nations. Ambassadors have power and influence, and selecting the right person for the post is not taken lightly. It is a decision that is carefully vetted. Does the candidate have the qualifications and experience needed to do the job? Does the candidate have the character attributes needed to present or to represent the government at the highest level? Can they be counted on to advance the priorities and views of those who have sent them? Is the candidate respected based on their known character attributes? And does the candidate have the potential to succeed? I would think that there's a checklist that would be included, and some of these questions might be on that list for a potential ambassador appointee as he or she is considered. Again, selecting a person to represent you, your interests, the interest of your nation, and ensuring the someone is and will be a living example, an advertisement of all that you stand for is a decision that must be made with great care. The word ambassador has a connection with the Church of God. We, in fact, have a hymn we sing called Ambassadors for Christ, hymn 164. This hymn is inspired in part by what is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like for us to review what is given in this passage. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 20, Paul is speaking about himself and the other leaders doing the work of the church as ambassadors of Christ. But let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I think it is clear that the reference to being an ambassador is speaking to anyone that has responded to a calling from God and has been reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now you notice this word reconciliation or reconcile is used several times here. And reconciliation is very much a part of this Pentecost celebration that we just celebrated. Verse 20 says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading with us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It is interesting to me that verse 21 here says that we are to become the righteousness of God in him. That indicates to me that it's a process that's developed over time. We'll talk a little more about that shortly. What are the implications of this statement by the Apostle Paul? What does it mean for you and me? What is an ambassador for Christ? What attributes do we need to have to fulfill this important responsibility? We read the definition of an ambassador according to the Oxford and Cambridge dictionaries. Now, as far as I know, none of us in this room today are high-ranking diplomat officials representing the U.S. government in a foreign nation. But you know, as members of the body of Christ, you and I do represent a foreign government, a kingdom that will be like no other. We heard a lot about the kingdom, we hear a lot about the kingdom, and we are often reminded of our role in it, and we are encouraged to strive to prepare for it. We get that in the many messages that we receive throughout the year. We are not only representatives of the future kingdom of God that will be established when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, but we are also citizens of this future government today. God's kingdom is a government. God's government is a family. All family members of the royal family have a high-ranking position in the family, in God's family. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You know, we live in the greatest country on earth. We have been blessed among all nations. And we know that those blessings came from God. Isn't it sad to see how our society today, and many of the leaders and influencers of the day have turned from the source of those blessings. There is a price to be paid for disobedience, and followers of God, those reconciled to God through Christ, must be separate from the ways that are contrary to God's ways. Our dedication must be to the citizenship we have in heaven. You and I are called to be a living example of how a citizen of the kingdom of God should be. Through our example, we are to show what living God's way looks like, what it looks like now, and what it will look like in the kingdom when it's established on the earth. If the country continues down the path of disobedience, it will become more and more difficult for you and I to fit into those that embrace the new norms. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 19. John 15 verse 19, it says, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." I remember a time in our world that you could simply disagree. If you did so, as long as you didn't infringe on the rights of others, you were pretty much left alone. There's always been exceptions to that, I guess, but early in my life, I remember that's the way it used to be. At least that was my experience. You might have been labeled, though, as out of touch, old-fashioned, old school, or behind the times. But it was permissible to disagree. In recent years, it became non-permissible for you to be unaccepting of certain worldviews and practices that were being pushed as normal lifestyle choices. If you do not agree that these new alternative lifestyles, for example, are a valid choice and an acceptable way of living your life, you risk being labeled as a hater and other terms designed to encourage you to keep your views to yourself. And you know, today it's even worse than that. Today the push is for you to embrace these things and promote them as good options, and to help others be successful when they choose to participate. We are pushed in our world today to join the cause and fight for a whole set of rights that didn't exist not too many years ago. Let's notice what is given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 will begin in verse 14. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Let's give it down to verse 17. It says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." You know, at first glance, these verses might seem to indicate to some that we are to hide out somewhere, to separate ourselves completely from the public, to stay hidden and just to keep quiet. But that's not what we are being encouraged to do here. We are to separate from the ways of the world that are contrary to God's ways. We must live in the world that exists today. But we cannot be a part of any of the disobedience that exists. We are to separate ourselves from those things. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, it's a short verse that I'm sure is very familiar to all of us. I'll just quote that from the New King James. It says to us, "Abstain from every form of evil." Another way to put that is just do not participate. On the Life, Hope, and Truth website, Mr. Bennett, under Daily Bible Verse blog, entitled Ambassadors for Christ, says this about 2 Corinthians chapter 20. Quote, "The Apostle Paul explained to the Corinthian congregation that God had given him a ministry of reconciling people to God And he references 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. This reconciliation was made possible by Jesus Christ, cleansing us from our sins. In verse 20, Paul compared his role to being an ambassador, an official representative of God, like the imperial ambassadors who represented the Roman emperor. Paul, by extension all Christians, seek to bring peace and reconciliation between God and man. To serve as an ambassador for Christ, we must share his values and promote his mission. We must not be entangled in the ways of society around us, but rather walk as he walked. End of quote. We cannot share his values and promote his mission if we are never seen or we are never heard. And that's true individually and as a group. We are not only required to represent the truth, we are to shine a light on it. As ambassadors for Christ, we are to live it and put it on display for others to see. To fulfill this responsibility, we of course need to know what that light is, where it came from, and what we are to do with it. Those questions are answered in John chapter 1. If you'll turn there, please. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Jesus Christ is the best example we can find anywhere of what an ambassador should look like. From the beginning, he has been fulfilling the will of his Father. Jesus Christ represents the government of God, the family of God, and he is a living advertisement of the kingdom of God and the way of life that we are to be following today. He is the true light that gives life, and he is the light that his ambassadors that follow him are to openly bear witness of. Verse 6, continuing in John chapter 1, provides an example of an ambassador of Christ who fulfilled his responsibility to point others to Christ. Again, John chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." Jesus Christ called on his followers to become lights to the world, to become ambassadors for Christ. Most organizations give a lot of thought to their mission statement and value statement, and they use that as an anchor or platform for the things that they hope to accomplish. Where I work, we have a mission statement, we have a value statement. The Church of God, a worldwide association, draws its mission statement from Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 28. From the church's website, it says this: "The mission of the Church of God, a worldwide association, is drawn from Christ's promise that his church would preach a specific gospel, a good news message, continuing the theme of all inspired scripture. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." It's found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. The website also says, "Also indicated in our mission is Christ's charge to the early church leaders: go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Making disciples involves educating, training, and caring for believers. You and I support the mission of the church collectively as a group. And we also do individually through our tithes, our offerings, our free will gifts, and through serving and caring for each other in the church family. Perhaps the biggest impact you and I can have individually in doing the work of God is to fulfill the role of ambassador for Christ over the time we have been given in this life. In Matthew chapter 5, you and I are given a special opportunity to be a representative of Jesus Christ. The term ambassador is not used in this particular set of scriptures, but the characteristics of the role, I believe, are clearly present. This directive applies to anyone past, present, and future who was, is, or becomes a true follower of Christ. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. Matthew 5 and verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them." Note that these are Christ's words, his instructions to them and to us now. Skipping down to verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." All true Christians should become a representative of the teachings of Jesus Christ, of his character, of his love for others, and of his soon coming kingdom. For an ambassador of Christ to be successful, certain spiritual character traits must be present in their life. Spiritual character is something that is developed over time, as we mentioned. We are all a work in progress. With the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, God's mercy, as we strive to overcome and grow in the grace and knowledge of his ways, God's character, again, is developed in us. Perhaps we should be considered ambassadors in training for a while until we become fully impactful in this role of ambassador of Christ. I'd like to spend the remaining time I have in the message today touching on several of the attributes that need to be developed and present and on display in our lives as our role and for to be an ambassador for Christ. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on each one of these. I have several, but I wanted to go through a few that stand out to me. We'll reference quite a few scriptures as we touch on these attributes. And here are some of the attributes that ambassadors for Christ will need to develop to be successful. The first one is that ambassadors for Christ are to become spiritually mature. Ambassadors for Christ are to become spiritually mature. The Greek word for ambassador that was found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 is defined by the Strong's Concordance and means to be a senior and act as a representative. According to the Oxford Dictionary, the definition for mature means to be fully developed, fully grown, or having reached the most advanced stage in a process. As an ambassador for Christ, we must be spiritually developed, spiritually grown, and striving for and reaching towards an advanced stage in our spiritual development. To represent Christ effectively, we need to be seniors, spiritually mature and diligently striving to become more and more like Jesus Christ himself. No ambassador for Christ will be perfect in this life, but we should be advancing towards perfection over time. And again, this is a process. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love are all qualities of someone who is spiritually mature. The next attribute that I have is ambassadors for Christ are to teach others God's way. Ambassadors for Christ are to teach others God's way. We have discussed already how important it is for our light to shine. I believe that our example of living God's way of life and putting Christ's words into practice has the most impact that we can provide individually in teaching others there is a right way that produces right results. We read earlier that our example will cause others to want the life God has to offer, though it may not be something that happens for them right away. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, back a couple of pages. First Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. It says, "But I sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Ambassadors for Christ should know the scriptures and be able to provide understanding when an opportunity presents itself. I remember Mr. Winter, when he was here, used to say that we need to get to know our Bible. He used to say that often. I'll quote 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that was read in the message this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." As an ambassador for Christ, we must be fully equipped to do the work that God has given us to do. Part of that work is to share this way of life with others as we are able and as we have opportunity. Another attribute is ambassadors for Christ walk as he walked. Ambassadors for Christ walk as he walked. We've talked a lot about the example we are to set for others and the opportunities that can come from the examples that we've set. The example that we are setting should always reflect Jesus Christ and the example that he set for us. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Another attribute for an ambassador of Christ is ambassadors for Christ are peacemakers. Ambassadors for Christ are peacemakers. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." That's a quote from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 in the section of scripture known as the Beatitudes. Ambassadors for Christ promote peace and seek what is best for everyone. The qualities of a peacemaker are summed up in the verses that led up to verse 9 here in chapter 5. We skipped this section earlier, but I'd like to go back to it under this particular attribute, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll pick it up in verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are qualities that we need to have developed to be a peacemaker in our role as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Another attribute, ambassadors for Christ communicate well. Ambassadors for Christ communicate well. We need to be very well read in the truth of God. And we need to be able to articulate a proper response. Communication is very important. I had a boss one time that was trying to get me to understand something. It wasn't that complicated, but I wasn't getting it. And one day he called me in his office and he said, "Duncan, perhaps I'm not articulating my position very well." He was my boss and I quickly got up to speed. But it's important that we articulate well. Colossians chapter 4, let's turn there. Colossians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Walk in wisdom toward these who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." To be an effective ambassador for Christ, just having the knowledge and providing an answer is not enough. We need to consider our audience. We need to think about our tone and answer wisely, knowing that we are representing Christ himself. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we should be prepared to give an answer, and we are told to do so with meekness and fear. Sometimes how we deliver information can be as powerful as the information itself. I'm sure we've all had an occasion to speak to someone about our faith, about some aspect of the truth. I don't know about you, but I have, somebody asked me a question about, why don't we eat pork? And we wind up talking about the plan of God for an hour, and I'm pretty sure that's not what they needed to hear at the time. So meekness and fear, we need to think about that as we give an answer. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And also in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Another attribute to consider is ambassadors for Christ bear much fruit. Ambassadors for Christ bear much fruit. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 1 says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Verse 5, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And then verse 8 pulls this section of scripture together. It says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." For the topic today, we could substitute my disciples with my ambassadors. You will be my ambassadors. In Galatians 5, we are told what the fruit of the Spirit is. This fruit that we are to bear in large quantities. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." I think that's an interesting end to that set of verses. Against such there is no law. Go ahead. do all of, you know, have all of that fruit that you want. Another attribute for an ambassador is ambassadors for Christ yield to God's will over their own. Ambassadors for Christ yield to God's will over their own. Let's turn to John chapter 6. I'm right there in my Bible, John chapter 6 and verse 37. John 6, verse 37, it says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You know, you and I represent God's way of life. We represent his plan. We represent his government. To be an ambassador of Christ, we must follow his example, again, and yield to God's will over our own. Another attribute, ambassadors for Christ are servants of Christ. Ambassadors for Christ are servants of Christ. Again, following the example of Christ, we too are called to serve others. And ambassadorship is really a call to service. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, I'll just quote this one verse here. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Also in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, again, it's one verse, and I'll just quote it here. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I think our congregations have a good reputation for serving others. We have members that teach our children. We have members that exhort one another, provide encouragement for one another, pray for one another, give of their time and resources, and host a host of other acts of service to others. Ambassadors for Christ must have a heart of a servant. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Again, these are verses that describe what many in our church area do week by week. Another trait that an ambassador for Christ should have is ambassadors for Christ are not self-appointed. Ambassadors for Christ are not self-appointed. Ambassadors of the U.S. government do not appoint themselves. They must be selected. They must be chosen or appointed. This is also true for ambassadors for Christ. They are selected or called. They are chosen. They are appointed. John 6, verse 44 tells us that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Also in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, I'll quote that one for you. It says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." This is why it is so important that we as ambassadors for Christ develop these attributes. Another attribute, ambassadors for Christ rely on God to supply their needs. Ambassadors for Christ rely on God to supply their needs. Like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, these attributes work together and they overlap each other to ensure that we are fully equipped for the work that we are called to do. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, just one verse. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. An ambassador for Christ, yielding to his will and not our own will, we must put our trust in him and have faith to know that he will provide all that is needed." Another familiar verse is Philippians chapter 14 and verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. Again, just one verse here. It says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Another attribute for an ambassador for Christ is ambassadors for Christ maintain a godly reputation. Ambassadors for Christ maintain a godly reputation. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, let's turn there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." For an ambassador of Christ to have credibility and be effective, he or she must have a godly reputation. We must follow the rules consistently. We must ensure that we always tell the truth, for example. We must adhere to the commandments of God. And we must ensure that our actions and behaviors are in line with the truth of God and his standard of living, whether we are around someone or not. James chapter 3 and verse 13 adds to this point. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Our consistent good conduct is the best advertisement of who and what we are really all about. I think people will long remember how we acted, how we treated them, how we behaved, long after the words that we might have said. Another attribute, ambassadors for Christ love their enemies. Ambassadors for Christ love their enemies. Now, this attribute is not as easy as it might sound. To fulfill our role as ambassador for Christ, we must develop the same love for others as Jesus Christ did. Even love for those that may not or that may plot against us and consider us their enemy. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, or back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in verse 43. It says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." My final attribute I'd like to present is ambassadors for Christ press towards the goal and are determined to finish the race. Ambassadors for Christ press towards the goal and are determined to finish the race. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14 says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. You know, giving in can never be an option. Our adversary will throw all he can to try to get us to stumble and just walk away. Over the history of the church, many have given up and many have walked away over issues that have come their way. But you know, this can never, ever be an option for us. As an ambassador for Christ, we must have the mindset to press on and push forward toward the prize of our place in the kingdom of God. One final scripture for the message today is 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Again, you and I have been called, we've been chosen, we were appointed to serve as an ambassador for Christ. This appointment that we've been called to, it's a high-ranking position. You and I are among the royal priesthood in a holy nation, with the rights and privileges of membership granted to all who make up the family of the living God. You and I are a living advertisement to the kingdom of God. You and I represent Jesus Christ, his culture, his beliefs, and his standing on the important issues of the day. You and I have a responsibility to live a life that speaks with authority on behalf of Jesus Christ. Our words, our actions, and behaviors can have a direct impact on the strength and well-being of the relationships that exist and will exist between the inhabitants of our nation. As an ambassador, you have power and influence, and your selection to this post was not taken lightly. It was a decision that was carefully vetted and carefully timed. We know that God does the calling. We read about that. I wonder what questions did he consider when he chose to give you and I our special calling? Will he or she, we could put your name in there, develop the qualifications and experience needed to do the job? Will he or she be willing and able to develop character attributes needed to represent the government at the highest level? Can he or she be counted on to advance the priorities and views of those who have sent him? Will he or she be respected based on their known character attributes? And will he or she strive to use their potential to succeed? Perhaps God considered some of these questions before the timing of our calling. We have discussed that there are certain attributes that need to be developed in us for our ambassadorship to be successful. If you didn't get all those, there were 12. That's quite a few. I'll just read them real quickly in case you missed one there. Ambassadors for Christ are to become spiritually mature. Ambassadors for Christ are to teach others God's way. Ambassadors for Christ walk as he walked. Ambassadors for Christ are peacemakers. Ambassadors for Christ communicate well. Ambassadors for Christ bear much fruit. Ambassadors for Christ yield to God's will over their own. Ambassadors for Christ are servants of Christ. Ambassadors for Christ rely on God to supply their needs. Ambassadors for Christ maintain a godly reputation. Ambassadors for Christ press towards the goal and are determined to finish the race. I read those slowly. Not really so you could write them down, because I can't read my handwriting. But anyway. Again, I don't know that you or I could claim the title of ambassador in full on the day of our baptism. Perhaps, again, we should be considered ambassadors in training until we have reached a certain level of spiritual maturity to represent the citizenship in heaven. I do think the impact we can have on others is immediate. And I know we can continue to become more impactful over time. We have a responsibility to be a light to the world and shine brightly as living examples of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and his way of life and action. We have the responsibility to do our part in promoting and advancing God's way of life and the kingdom of God. You know, the world doesn't know it yet, but the inhabitants of this planet are eagerly waiting for God's plan of salvation to unfold and for the sons of God to be revealed. In the meantime, there's a lot of work to be done, and we have an important role in it. You and I are the salt of the earth. You and I are the light of the world. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ.